Alrighty, today we're going to start on part six of our series on motivational gifts. And this one's going to be on the gift of giving. The gift of giving. I know some of you are getting really nervous right now, but that's okay. We're not going to take up another offering at this time, amen? Alright. Now, one thing we're going to find out about this, that did you know that you don't have to be rich in this world to have this motivational gift of giving? Don't have to have all kinds of money. All of us, as we know, are called to be givers, right? You know, it's every Christian's responsibility to fund the gospel and to give to the poor. That's just something that God, you know, desires for us to do. But the person that we're going to talk about today is someone that has this special gift from God, and they really take giving to the next level. Now, right now, I just imagine some of you are praying, God, don't give me this gift. You know, I don't want this gift, God. I want that other one. I want to be an exhorter. Everybody wants to be an exhorter, right? Everybody loves you. You're just so fun to be around, you know. But believe me, you know, you're going to be happy when you find the right gift that God's given you. And the truth is that those who have this gift find great spiritual joy in giving. And if God gives you this gift, I want to challenge you on something. Don't you think God will give you something to give? You know, if you have the gift of giving, God will give you something to give. Scripture we're going to look at is our main scripture text we've been exploring for a little while. It's found in Romans chapter 12, verse 6 to 8. And it says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, he who teaches in his teaching, and he who exhorts in his exhortation, and he who gives with liberality, and he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let's pray. Father God, we honor you today. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing to be here, to be able to change our lives. Lord, we desire that you are the potter and we are the clay. Lord, we know that you have a great plan for each of our lives, Lord. And Lord, we just want to honor you today. I yield to the gift you put inside of me. I use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Little fallback procedure here I want to do just to explain for those who maybe haven't been a part of this is, you know, in Scripture there's three primary places that God talks about gifts. Here in Romans 12 is talking about the motivational gifts. We call those the gifts of the Father. Because we're going to look at the gifts of the Father, the gifts of the Son, and the gifts of the Spirit. Now, the gifts of the Father, these gifts are given to you when you're born again. So if you're not a Christian yet, don't worry, you don't have one of these. But we can fix that, amen? You know, God wants us to be born again. He wants us to be a Christian. Now, once you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, well, then these gifts, now you're going to have one dominant gift, and you'll probably flow, because we really flow on all seven of these from time to time to a degree. But, you know, primarily you're going to have one gift and maybe some other gifts that you flow in also. Then also we have the gifts of the Son, and they're found in Ephesians chapter 4. And they're the fivefold ministry, and that's the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. Now, not everybody will have those gifts. Those are the ones who God has called into the body of Christ to be in this sort of ministry. It's not necessarily has to be a full-time vocation, but it is, I don't want to say a special anointing, but it is anointing that's different than some of the other gifts, because God has given you, for whatever lack of words to say, that the ability in you to be one of the leaders in the body of Christ. And it says it helps to bring the body to a place of maturity, and that's the goal. Then lastly, we have the gifts of the Spirit. And there's nine gifts of the Spirit. And those are found in 1 Corinthians 12. And those are gifts by the Holy Spirit. And how those work is the Holy Spirit will give you a gift at the time that is needed. It's not something you can conjure up on your own. So all these things that we see in Scripture have been God-initiated. God initiates these gifts. It's not something we can't just like we go to the store and just pick something off the shelf that we want. Now, when God gives us a gift and puts it inside of us, we don't have to yield to that gift. Big mistake. You know, the best thing you can do is yield to the gifts that God's put inside of you and start to explore those gifts, and then you're going to start to experience God in a deeper way. So, Today we're looking at number seven. Number seven in of these gifts, the last one. And I tried to break these gifts down so that I paired them together so that those who were a little bit opposite. Now, the reason why it's a twofold or two-prong approach of why we want to know this. The gift that you find out, then you can start to flow and operate in the body of Christ. But also, it's going to help you to understand maybe a little bit about other people. Because two gifts that are sort of opposite of each other, like I did prophecy and mercy. Their approach to ministry is a little different. I did exhortation and teaching, you know. So I did those two gifts together, and I did serving an organization. And if you put these two people on the same project, they can butt heads a little bit because their approach is totally different to solving the problem. But if we understand that not everybody has to be like you and not everybody has to be like me, right? You know, I think the biggest mistake we make in life is that we look at life through our eyes and we think that everybody has to see it the way I see it. That just fills my slate with marriage counseling, right? Amen? You know, husbands think the wife ought to see it his way and wives think the husband ought to see it their way. You know, but if we start to walk in maturity and that's our goal, we don't want to be just a babe in Christ that's needing milk all the time, but I like steak, amen? You know, I like to move on from the milk. Now, I'll put a little milk on my oatmeal, but just a little bit. I don't need a lot of milk now. You know, I'm looking for other things. And I think if we are willing to do so, God will take us to a deeper level. Okay, giving. Define giving. The person who has this gift, and I recognize this gift in our body. I've witnessed it in several people in the church here. And it's a spiritual need to give. And they just find great fulfillment with that. And when they give, it's an effortless act of love in their giving. They just have that way about them that they can do it. So we're going to look at some characteristics of a person who has this gift inside of them. They have an ability to make wise purchases and investments because, you know, they're really good stewards. Because God has given that special gift, and they look at things through the eyes of dollars and cents sometimes, so that, you know, they have an ability to be able to sniff out good deals and to be able to make them wise purchases because they know that, you know, that maybe these things are going to be needed later. Hypothetically, they desire to give quietly to people and to ministries that they trust. They don't really like a lot of people knowing about what they do. Because it's a spiritual thing, right? They don't do it to sound their horn and say, hey, look at me. You know, I'm giving now. Can everybody see my gift? No. They prefer that way. But on the other hand, they will also maybe the kind of person that will maybe, let's say, donate $1,000 up to matching gifts. You know, they'll use their giving to motivate others to give because they see such a need to be able to give into the body of Christ. You know, because the body of Christ does need finances to be able to fulfill its vision and the projects that it needs to do. You know, I don't write faith checks to the power company, amen? You know, hey, you know, God told me that you're supposed to bless the church with this free electricity this month. You know, they'll shut you right off. You know, they don't care about spiritual stuff. You know, they could care less. So it does take finances to be able to do it. So this gift really helps out to fill in the areas where there may be lacking. But like I said, everybody's supposed to give. You know, that's just part of being a Christian. God so loved that he gave, and we're supposed to be like God, right? So we need to be giving people. But this person takes it to the next level. Like I mentioned before, like a mercy person, when they see somebody, they can just sniff out somebody who's in pain. Well, somebody that has the gift of giving, they can just see needs that need to be filled that nobody else can maybe see. They just see things that are underfinanced or need different things, and they're drawn to that, and they just want to meet that need. The person with this gift doesn't like arm twisting when it comes time to give. Now, there's some preachers that can really take up an offering. How many's maybe been in that service? Maybe this morning. I hope I wasn't too hard on you. But I've been in some services where, man, you wasn't going to get out of there unless you gave something. That's just the way it is, you know. But a person with this kind of giving, Ben, it's a spiritual thing. They don't like to be coerced, what they feel is being pressured to give. Because it's such a spiritual thing. It's just something that they do naturally. that they don't like that kind of an appeal to giving into an offering. They have great joy. You know, if they feel God is telling them to do something, let's say somebody had a need, and I read an illustration about this, that, you know, somebody needed $500 to do something, and they stopped by the church, and on their because they was heading to the bank because they had to borrow the money. They didn't have the money to fulfill that need, and somebody in the church, they was at a prayer meeting, and they come up and said, hey, do you need any money? They go, why do you ask? And they said, well, I really felt the Lord told me to give you $500. You know, we're going to borrow the money because I think it's going to help the church. And her husband, I don't know. I don't really like people borrowing money to give to the church. I don't endorse that. But that's a true story about how this happened. And, you know, because I think you should give out of your surplus. You know what I mean? I don't really want you to charge stuff on your Visa, you know, to give to the church. I don't think that's a good, wise practice, you know. But this person did that, and they felt great joy because they had the number right, the exact dollar amount, and it fulfilled a need. So sometimes a giver loves to hear those testimonies where their giving, you know, wasn't just in blind faith, but it was something that they could tangibly know that they made a difference. And I think we all kind of like to know that. Another thing about a giver is they kind of like a little confirmation sometimes. If a husband and wife are you know, they're in this together. Me and my wife do this. We pray, and you know, sometimes we do it just to test ourselves to hear from the Lord. You know, and you know, what dollar amount's God given you? And you know, more times than not, we have the same number. You know, and so somebody with the gift of giving, they like to have their spouse or somebody confirm that they're really hearing from God sometimes, and that's kind of nice. And they want to make sure the gift is high quality. You know, somebody with the gift of giving wouldn't have this attitude. They say, you know, well, you know, yeah, this isn't good enough for me. You know, we'll give it to the church. You know, they can find some place to have it, or, you know, oh, there's always Helping Hands. We can give it to Helping Hands, you know, and dump our trash off there. You know, but no, people with the gift of giving, they give quality. You know, they wouldn't, you know, they may buy new, or they may take something that's really good and give it, you know. I still remember the story, our Bible school, the director in Bible school, and I've told this story here before, but she was a missionary down in Central America, and the church that she was from, they would send the missionaries their used tea bags. You know, I know that sounds ridiculous. I mean, to me, I mean, the shipping alone would be tremendous, you know. But they would send them the used tea bags because they would use them for themselves, and there's still a little bit of tea in them. It still colors the water. Well, we'll send them to the missionaries. We know they can use them. You know, somebody with the gift, nobody should do that. That's ridiculous, isn't it? But those things happen in the body of Christ. Somebody thinks they're doing God a favor, people favors, you know. I mean, if you can't afford to buy a new bag of tea and send it to a missionary, you know, come on. But anyway, that's what they would do. And, you know, it was just kind of ridiculous, but that's what happens sometimes. But a people with the gift of giving, they want to give quality. And they like to feel a part of the project that they're giving into. And that's important, so they know they're meeting a spiritual need. Just like anybody, if you know, if you're involved in the ministry here at the church, whether you're a teacher, you're ushering, or in the hospitality, whatever, you know, you feel a part of things when you do things. You know, it's just the way the reward is so awesome because you're serving God, and you know, and the people that have this gift, you know, they like to feel that too. Now, here's some misunderstandings that happen in the process. Due to being money-minded, they can get judged by focusing on temporal values. You know, bins are kind of like the, you know, some of you may run into this at your work. I don't know. You got the, see, is it the CFO? That's a chief financial officer. You know, you may have a great idea, but he crunches the numbers and he says no. You know, just the number cruncher. And so somebody, if we view somebody, it's always asking, well, how much that? How much do we need for that? Or if they're on a committee and they're always talking money, they can think maybe they're not that spiritual. You know, you need to trust God. You know what I'm saying? Somebody from else, one of the other gifts might say that to them. But, you know, it's a misunderstanding. Their giving can come across as with some strings attached. Now, those are tough. You know, being in a pastor, you know, sometimes people want to give stuff, but you can always tell, you know, it's tied to something. You know, I'll be honest, if it's tied to something, I usually refuse the gift. Depending on what the situation is. But if somebody wants to give something, but they want something in return, and they're giving it to God, you know, that's the, to me, that ain't right. I mean, that's just how I roll, and you know, I don't want to offend nobody. But I mean, that's just when you give to God, you give to God and you let go. See, if you give somebody something, you're still holding on to it. Have you given it? No. If God told you to give something, you need to give it and you need to let go. And just trust God's going to take care of it. This person is generous to others. I jumped ahead too far. Their giving may come across with the strings. Then also their attempt to motivate others, because like I said, we think everybody should be like us. So if I have the gift of giving and I look at you and you're not coughing up some cash, you know what I'm saying? You know, I say, hey, come on, man. What's up with this? You know, I'm giving. Why can't you give? I see you up there, Casey, sucking down them donuts and that coffee every day. Hey, come back. You know, come on, let's do this. You know, so they can come across, you know, maybe being a little pushy. Like I said, pressure appeals turn them off. So when they hear that, they tune out and they miss out maybe on a blessing. Now, this is something that's really they got to work on, and I've watched this, is that they can be a little bit frugal with their family, but very generous to the church. And that's something, you know, because what it can do, it can turn your spouse or your kids off if you're not buying them the things they need, because you don't consider that, you know, as important as, you know, maybe giving into some projects at the church. You know, I think you need to have balance in your life. You know, you don't want, because the message you're sending to your family, you're not important to me. And that's a problem with the giver sometimes, because they're looking for the spiritual part of it. So, you know, they just enjoy, you know, giving to somebody who has great need. I'll be honest, I love to give to somebody who has need. Now, this isn't one of my strongest, I operate in giving, but this isn't mine. But I do love to give to people that has need, not the people who has greed. Amen. You know, and that's just part of, you know, being a Christian, I think, sometimes. Now, lastly, they desire to always get a good deal. They can lose sight of completing the goal, meaning that if they're involved in a project and what they need to finish the goal is not on sale, they say, oh, we'll just wait. You know, we'll wait till it goes on sale. You know, but everybody else wants to get the job done, you know what I mean? So that can be a problem. Now, somebody in the Bible who was an example of this was Abraham. Now, Abraham was blessed by God. Matter of fact, he was called the friend of God. And that friend is a word that we don't really understand, because, you know, we have friends. But to be a friend of God means you're a covenant partner. And I don't want to go into that too deep, but it means more than what we understand being friendship about. He was generous to others. It just amazed me. He was the leader of the whole thing, you know, and he took his nephew Lot along. And then they were so blessed. I mean, the guy just, he followed God and he just walked in blessing. I mean, that's just the way it worked. And he got so many animals. And then his nephew Lot, he kind of tapped into that blessing. So it's good who you hang around. There's a, you know, that's a truth there. And so he hung around and then he had so much stuff. Well, anyway, they had so many animals, they all couldn't eat in the same area. So they had to choose. He gave Lot the first choice. And Lot picked the best ground, the best grass, everything to feed it. Well, we know that wasn't the best choice, because Lot wasn't very spiritual. And he ended up living in Sodom and Gomorrah, and we know how that thing turned out. You know, but Abraham gave Lot the first choice, just a giving person. Well, it didn't bother Abraham, because where he went, he was as blessed over here. It may not have been the best, but God made it the best, right? So that's just kind of how that kind of rolls. He wanted God to get all the glory. After he beat the kings, remember that deal that had taken Lot captive and other things? You know, one other king wanted to give him some of the proceeds of what they took. And he says, I don't want nothing from you. I only want what God gives me. You know, you can give some of this stuff to the helpers, but as far as me, God's my source. Didn't want nothing to do with that. Then when it come time in Genesis chapter 23, his wife passed away. He needed a place to bury her. And he needed, back then they liked to have a nice cave to do it. Well, he was a foreigner in that land. So he went to a person and and he negotiated a price. He went up, and in the negotiation process, it was a good place to get buried, I guess. I mean, it's just different than our culture. You know, we don't think of a cave, you know, hey, that's a good one to get buried in. I'm going to keep that one for later, you know. But anyway, this was a great spot to be buried. And Abraham wanted to go up and buy it, and the guy says, oh, I'll just give it to you. I'll just give it to you. Abraham says, nope, I want to pay the regular price. And that was shrewd. Because how many know there might have been strings attached to that? If he would have took that blessing from that heathen, you know what I'm saying? It was a heathen. He wasn't a follower of God. You know, he maybe would have got himself into some, you know, later on issues where the guy said, hey, remember that cave I let you have? You know, I'd like to have my family start marrying part of your family. Then you bring in that heathen race into your lineage. So Abraham wouldn't have nothing to do with that. Very shrewd. Okay, so that's just a little bit about the gift of giving that God puts in people. Now, the purpose of this whole series is so that you and I could come to a place in our life so we could understand better really what God wants for us and in the body of Christ. And it's talking about bodybuilding. And bodybuilding is very important because the stronger the body is, the more healthy it's going to be. Now, some of us, if we've let ourselves go, amen, you know how that happens? You know, been a long winter. You know, just kind of eating whatever I want, doing whatever I want. Then all of a sudden you think, huh, these don't fit no more. You know, I got to go out and buy some different clothes. You know, but we've let our body go. And so you have to be a good steward. It's like that in the body of Christ. You know, I want us to see, because I really feel that we miss out on this, is that each person is necessary because each gift is necessary. If God has placed you in the body of Christ, you are just as important as anybody else in that body. Because God has put inside of you a gift that he wants you to use to help that body be stronger, talking about the local church. So in this church, God has drawn people in, and we're looking for more help, amen? You know, drawing more people in. But I think it would be sad if we don't try to help the ones who are here to develop themselves and to be able to experience what it is God wants for them to do. And that's all part of bodybuilding. And, you know, I don't feel God would create a person to be unuseful. God put you on this planet for a reason. And it's more than just going to work every day. That's good. You got to work. I understand that. Got to pay the bills. Got to feed your family. Those are good. But those are not eternal things. Eternal things are things in the kingdom of God. And really, that's what we're part. You and I have dual citizenship. I am an American, but I'm also a Christian. So in that kingdom, God's kingdom, there's roles and there's things that need to be done. And that's why it's important that we find out what those are. God doesn't want us just to attend church, but he wants us to be the church and what that's all about. And with these giftings that God has given us, as we start to... Now, these are just the basic ones to get started with. Now, I started out, you know, finding out just kind of what God wanted me to do. And then I started to explore and I started to jump into different ministries in the church. And as I did that, I started to experience things. And then after that, it was easier to cipher out really what the calling that God had for me. I'll be honest, I never had any inkling I would ever be a pastor when I started out on my journey with God. You know, I was an evangelist. I loved to just tell people to repent and move on. That was me. But God, through a process of learning and my yielding to things and starting to learn things, that, you know, then he opened up a new avenue. And I'll tell you what, I've never been so happy in my life. I mean, you guys may not be that happy about it, but I'm excited. Praise God. Amen. Well, thank you. So we just learn to yield. And it talks there, you know, remember it said that we need to employ the gifts. We need to put them to work. And what I found out, and I want you to, now maybe I'm wrong about this, correct me if I am wrong, but if we got one person digging a ditch and we got 10 people digging a ditch, which is better? Unless you're one of the 10. I mean, one of them, you know, I don't know. To me, it's more people easier, right? You know, I think it's so much better if we have a greater worker pool in the church where certain people don't feel they have to do everything all the time. Because I've watched this. Some people, they start off good, and then if they feel, they kind of lose their joy if they're not careful, they end up being bitter. And that's their fault. You know what I mean? I'll be honest with you. I'm not, that's the prophecy motive in me coming out. You know, that's my strongest gift is prophecy. For you guys are saying, what's that one? Well, you got to go online and you got to listen to the messages to get it. You know, so you understand. Because it is important that we get all these because you may have that gift. But, you know, we want to guard ourselves against being bitter, against getting upset. But I have found out that, you know, my flow or my philosophy of my desire for this church is to develop more team ministry, meaning that a group of people will be involved in the same cause or the same ministry, and they work together, and then they fulfill that ministry. That way, if one can't make it, others will fill in. And not, there will be no lack. And then as that ministry develops, they draw in more people to be able to fulfill that. You know, we could always use more ushers. We have the same ushers all the time. I know they don't mind doing it, to my knowledge, at this time. But, I mean, that's a good, easy ministry. That's where I hopped in when I first started out as a Christian. And I'll be honest, I was just as happy being an usher as anything else. I felt so blessed to be able to serve people in that way, you know, because it was doing it for Jesus. And see, if we keep that mindset, I'm doing this for Jesus, and we're going to be happy. And then I, you know, dabbled in teaching a little bit. So I started out getting involved, just trying to experience different things, and more people, it really helps out. And then we can, you know, then, you know, we're going to try to find organizers. You know what I mean? We studied the gift of organization. We'll try to put organizers leading some of these teams so that it can keep things kind of moving along, amen? So that team can grow and that team can develop, you know? And that's my desire. And how that's all going to take place is, you know, we talked about the idea. I don't know about you. I don't make anybody feel creepy right now, but I want to take our relationship to the next level, amen? I want to do that. You know, several years ago, I mentioned we started on a membership thing. And there was a committee put together, and they started to develop some ideas and different things. But I don't know, some of it, I just didn't get a piece of my spirit about it. Just wrestled with it and wrestled with it and just never pulled the trigger on it. Until recently, I really feel that God's, you know, stirring me up to offer this in the church so that we can try to develop this team ministry. And how that's going to take place is that, you know, I really felt God kind of spoke into my spirit. And I'm not picking on other churches who use terminology like membership. That's not what I'm doing. But for us, I just don't really feel that membership's what I want as a shepherd of this church. Because to me, membership means you join a club. But I want to call it partnership because partners share a purpose. And really, that's what I want us to do. I want us to see that as a church, we're partners in this ministry together. And that we share a purpose. Now, what's our overall purpose that I feel that we need to do is I think we need to make a difference in this world. I know that's big, you know, because it's not maybe zeroed in like it should be. But I think if you and I would live our life, that when we wake up every day, I want to make a difference. Some way, somehow, in somebody else's life, I want to make a difference. And if we wake up every day and we want to do that, I think we'll be pleasing to God. I think we will. I think we will fulfill the Great Commission. I think we will fulfill the idea of making disciples. I think we'll fulfill the idea that if we can develop team ministries here in the church where people are working together, because I don't know about you, but when you play on a team, you start to develop, you know, great friendships and great relationships with other people. And as you do that, then you're going to be a stronger person, because everybody goes through things in life and we can have people we can count on. So all these things kind of come because I found out that as I live life, life has a way of lulling us to sleep over the process of time. You know, I look back, and we started this church just over 20 years ago. And I look back and I see some great things, but I see some dead spots. I see some valleys in my life. Some areas where maybe I was just going through the motions. I'll be honest. We all go through the motions, don't we? You know, life has a way of lulling us to sleep, and it happens in marriages, it happens at work, it happens in all areas of our life if we're not living intentional, and that's the key. We need to live intentionally, meaning that we need to have a plan, and with that plan, we can step out into a purpose. And as we start to walk in that, we're going to start to see God start to do some things in our life. I'll be honest, the greatest thrill you're going to get in your life, there's several of them. Hey, I got to get this in out of the way. Getting married was good, right? Amen. That's in case my wife listens to this later. I want to just get that out of the way. But even better than that, finding the right spouse, is getting saved. And I'll tell you what, when I got saved, whoa. But you know what ranks up there with getting saved? Getting somebody else saved. Oh my gosh, what a feeling to lead somebody out of hell into the kingdom of God. You know, and then also, as you're a part, you know, every person, Ben's, you're a partner with this church, and if you choose to take our relationship to the next level, which I'm going to offer some classes, that's where I'm getting at. Amen. They're going to be short. Classes, about 3 or 4 of them. It's going to explain some things just so that we're all on the same page. And then everybody that gets saved, everybody that we make a difference in their life, Ben's, we're partners. We're in it together. It doesn't matter. You know, as a husband and wife, what you do together, it's like you're both doing it, right? Even though maybe one of you don't feel like the other is carrying their own weight. Amen? Come on now. I'm not very good at dishes or vacuum, and I know that. But my wife doesn't want me to be either. Amen? We've been married long enough to know. There's just certain things she doesn't want me to do. Laundry? But that was my own trick. Maybe I've told that. For you men who want to get out of laundry, wash your white underwear with a red towel or something. It'll turn them pink. That really bugs your wife enough that she'll never have you do laundry again. I mean, that's just a little trick I learned when I first got married. So, we wasn't even married yet. I think I was single, and she had noticed her when I told her what I did, and she said, "Okay, you're never doing laundry." I said, "Okay, praise God. I get to do my work clothes, but that's all good." Amen. So, that's kind of what we're at, and I hope these gifts, with the classes we're going to offer, it's going to give you opportunities to take some testing to be able to more refine and find out and zero in on the giftings that God's given you. Amen? All right, let's close in prayer. Hallelujah.